Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
To Hyman, working in front of the net. He'll walk up, score!
On your team.
All right, two bits of business for you. Well, one bit of conjecture, but first a bit of business.
The hottest guest in the game.
To be a general manager in this league, every now and then you got to do something outside of the box.
Get on the ice, don't play nice. Access you won't get anywhere else.
Connor McDavid is not going to be denied. At some point, he's just going to pick this team up and put it on his back.
Well, the Edmonton Oilers just went full Harlem Globetrotters on that.
This is Leon Draisaitl.
I'm Darnell Nurse.
This is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers.
And this is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas on your home for Oilers hockey. 630 Chan. Now, here's Brandon Escott.
Yeah, you get that double dose of Trigger Mafia today so we can get my name in the big show. You're with me for the next hour, I guess it is. It's Oilers Now. You already knew that. 780-496-0063 is the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors. 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We'll check in about a half hour with our NHL insider, John Shannon. Get a recap of that big overtime win last night in a game that had a little bit of everything. I think if it was the playoffs, you probably don't want to be on the edge of your seat for that many reasons for that long, but nevertheless, as a fan, entertained, as a head coach, coughing up a 3-1 lead, maybe not so much so, but you come away with 2 points, and you set yourself up for a huge game on home ice against the team in the Los Angeles Kings that is nipping at your heels in the standings. So a big 4-point game, as I like to call it, coming up tomorrow at Rogers Place. We'll talk with John Shannon about that, as well as our next guest, Rob Brown, who joins us each week from the Oilers Radio Network and a few other projects here for our friends at Montorio Homes, developing customized homes perfectly built to your lifestyle. Visit Montorio.ca. Rob, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Excellent. Appreciate you taking some time here. So I'll tell you what, a big game last night as we knew it was going to be going in. And right from the 3-1 lead through that penalty at the end and then into overtime with Zach Hyman somewhat poetically scoring the game-winning goal, it was an absolute playoff-style game, intensity-wise anyway, Rob. That's how I felt. What did you think?
Oh, I agree. I thought the Oilers played very, very well. Other than maybe 5 or 6 minutes to start the game and a brief stretch in the middle of the third period, the Oilers were in control throughout. And you got to feel confident as an Oilers fan because that's a good Jets team that the Oilers outplayed badly for large stretches. The big boys came to play for the Oilers. They got the extra point that they deserved and finally solved the goaltender that has been outstanding all season long. So it had some viciousness to it. It had the physicality, had the fights. I thought it was a really good hockey game that at the end of the night, you're looking at the Oilers lineup and saying, you know what, I think everybody on this team contributed something to this win tonight.
And that's what they've been looking for a long, long time here is depth, and depth that contributes, whether it's scoring or, as we saw with Corey Perry, mixing it up and dragging others into the fight. And we're getting later in the season. We're getting into these more intense style of hockey games. And I think with that, we're seeing right across the league, not just in Edmonton, the gloves slipping off a little more easily. But we also have a couple players at Edmonton willing to do it. And Corey Perry is making that a part of his game, Rob, maybe more so than I had originally anticipated when he signed here.
Well, I mean, he's a former MVP in the National Hockey League. He's a 50-goal scorer. Sometimes you see players with that kind of resume later in their career contribute different to teams, but normally it's, you know, maybe they're going to play a third liner and be a shutdown guy, or maybe they're on the second power play unit but be really good with the leadership, or maybe instead of scoring goals, they're now a penalty killer. But rarely do you see a former MVP to become a fighter and drop the gloves. But the one thing that Corey Perry has is hockey IQ, and it's very high. It's off the charts, and that's not just passes and shooting and where to be on the ice. It's also reading the temperature of a game, knowing when you need to be physical, knowing when you need to aggravate, and obviously knowing when you need to drop your gloves. I mean, if I'm on the bench last night and I've got a guy that's a very, very skilled player, could be a Hockey Hall of Famer, all of a sudden drop his gloves with a guy 6'7", I mean, that gets you pumped. It really does, as a player, seeing someone step out of a comfort zone and take on a big man like that. So Corey Perry, I believe, has been better than advertised since he's come to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and I've been singing his praises, like you say, Rob, for that hockey IQ, and just watching him operate inside about a 5-foot radius of the net, whether he's in front of it and tipping pucks or behind it and making plays out toward the goal mouth. He's really exciting to watch. So this is clearly a big pickup and an underrated one in the sense that it came just before the deadline, league minimum, auspicious circumstances on which you leave Chicago. But this is the type of guy who I think could be a real difference maker in a long playoff run here. And we just saw an example last night against a team who you may well see in the Western Conference Final if things trend the way that they are. It's possible, but my goodness, whether it's Winnipeg or Nashville or Dallas or Colorado, the Central Division is loaded, Rob.
They are, and it's funny, you don't know who's going to be over there. I mean, Vegas could be on the other side too. They could somehow slip into that spot and play in the first round against Colorado or Dallas. And right now, who thought that the hottest team in the National Hockey League would be the Nashville Predators? It's funny, the Oilers won 16 games straight. And it was an absolutely incredible run and almost a broken record. Yet, in the 18 games that they played, 16 in a row and then two losses, the Predators actually have a better record at 16-0-2. That's how good the Predators are playing right now. But yeah, Corey Perry, they brought him in, not for what he does in the regular season. They brought him in for playoff games because he's got the experience. He knows how to win.
Evander Kane has been an enigma all year long for the fact that he was really going when the team wasn't in the first 15 games, maybe 12 to 15 games. And since then, it's been hard for him to really have consistent traction, so much so that we see him out of the lineup for maintenance day, quote unquote. He didn't seem all that pleased about it. But what did you think of the way he responded in getting back into the lineup last night against Winnipeg?
Well, he had a couple of glorious scoring chances again. And when you're not scoring, I think it's 16 straight for him. You can still have confidence if you're getting the chances. And those were two big chances that he had on the breakaway and then the rebound. He had a couple chances in the games before on home ice. He's getting opportunities. He just needs to find a little confidence builder. We saw what happened with Connor Brown. Took him 55 games. Once he put one in, all of a sudden, he's finding the back of the net more often. So for the Oilers to have a long playoff run, you can't just go on the back of your star line or four or five players. We've seen that before here, where Connor and Leon have had fantastic playoffs and the Oilers are done in the first, second, or third round. You need everybody going in the right direction. And a big part of that is an Evander Kane. He was brought here because he brings an angry game. He brings a loud game when he plays. When he is on, when he is loud on the ice, he's a force. He doesn't have to score. He can do it with a hit. He can do it with a forecheck. He can do it with a stare. Things like that that make him an important part of this team. I think that it needs to be a little more consistent. And I think maybe that's why a maintenance day was brought upon him. But the Oilers need Evander Kane at his best. And when Evander Kane is at his best, he is a force, and that's what the Oilers want, and they know that they got, 12 games left in the regular season to get him going in the right direction, because the Oilers can only go as far as guys down the lineup can contribute, and Evander Kane will be a big part of that if the Oilers want to make a long run here in April, May, and June.
When you think about where he's playing in the lineup come April, May, and June, I mean, this is the one thing right now it's almost like they're trying to establish is where in the lineup he's going to play. Nobody bounces higher and lower in the lineup than Kane, it seems. And I just wonder, you know, is this your second line winger? And is this your third line winger, Rob? And is the fact that he hasn't necessarily been able to mesh with anybody as a line mate for any extended period of time maybe holding him back in that sense?
Well, it is a little odd because right now most teams would be solidifying all of their lines. Okay, here's what we got. We made the trade deadline. We added a couple players into our line. Here's what our lineup looks like or what we think it's going to look like come playoff time. And you give it a long look. And okay, well, 5-6 games didn't work. Let's try something different. But you want to have what you are going to start playoff game number one. You want to have that set in stone, at least give those guys some chemistry. And we've seen a lot of change in the Oilers' lineups. Almost it's going period to period, not only just game to game. I think Evander Kane would be everyone's expectation would be he would be in your top six, but we haven't seen a lot of on ice chemistry with Leon, and Leon is your number two center, and he's all world. So now we've got Adam Henrique getting a look there. So I would imagine between now and the first playoff game, you will see Kane back playing with Leon, and you will hope there's a spark there because you can't win with one line in the playoffs. You just can't. And they've got to find some chemistry for Leon. And Kane would be the obvious choice, but when he gets that opportunity, there's got to be a spark for him to stay there with a little bit of longevity.
It is 6:16. We've got Rob Brown on the line, our Oilers Radio Network co-host, and he is brought to you by Montorio Homes. Now, Rob, I wonder, penalty kill goes 5-for-5 last night. Special teams, I think is such a, obviously it's important to any team, but when you see Edmonton and they get the one power play goal, they're able to kill off everything that Winnipeg has. This is something that if they can dial in the penalty killing side of things, it could be a real difference maker, not just down the stretch, but into the playoffs as well.
Well, I think if you look back at the Oilers 16 game winning streak, I believe that the Oilers penalty kill won them more games than their power play did. They were fantastic on the penalty. I think they were over 90%. In the game last night against the Winnipeg Jets, the Oilers got 2 points. I don't think they get any points if their penalty killing isn't as good as it was. You know, if Winnipeg gets a very fortunate call at the end of the hockey game, put them on the power play. If the Jets score in the final 2 minutes, I mean, odds say with Hellebuyck in net, the Oilers aren't tying that up. And instead of getting 2 points in a game that they were by far the better team, they could have come out of it with zero. So, to me, the penalty killing was what won them the hockey game last night. Yes, penalty killing, especially teams and goaltending, that's what wins you playoff series. And I thought what we saw last night of the penalty killing unit was a much more aggressive penalty killing unit, a very confident unit. And I think that's what you need to see going down the stretch. So, yes, in the playoffs, if the Oilers kill like they did last night, they'll have success.
Rob Brown is ever a pragmatic thinker, I like to believe. So I know when somebody starts spouting off about the illegitimacy of a 50-goal season, you're not going to lend it much credence. But talk about exactly what it does mean, regardless of where these goals are coming from. Because I think about what Craig Simpson accomplished once upon a time, and nobody thinks, oh, geez, all those came from 2 feet in front of the net. It's that he's a 50-goal scorer. And to me, that's how this legend is going to live on as well. But, you know, where there is success, there will be those trying to detract from it, I suppose.
Well, see, I've read some of these things and watched some video, and it's all foolish. I mean, Zach Hyman scored 50 goals in the NHL. That's an incredible feat. I mean, you saw Corey Perry on the bench said, welcome to the club. You saw the excitement that Leon had and Connor had and his teammates. They know how hard it is. Somebody that scored 50 goals will tell you how hard it is. And everyone else that hasn't scored will tell you, well, it's impossible because we weren't able to do it. So all the respect in the world for what Zach Hyman did. I mean, this was not an expectation. It's not like when Connor McDavid came and scored 60. It's like, well, you expected him to do it. It's a great feat, but, I mean, this guy's a superstar. He's going to eventually get there. Zach Hyman was never considered a superstar. Came in, worked hard, did his job, earned respect from his teammates, from his coaches, just went about his business. I think it is an incredible story what Zach Hyman has put together this year. The only thing I said the other day after the game with Reed is, right now we're celebrating his 50th goal. I'm like, let's put away the party balloons right now. This might not be the final number that we're celebrating. I don't think 60 is out of the realm of possibility. He might skip the 30s and 40s in his 40s and 50s in his first big season. Might be a 60 goal season. So for me, Zach Hyman, it is an incredible, incredible feat. And I know that everyone here in Edmonton is proud of his accomplishment, as I'm sure he and his family are too.
And one thing that we've seen here time and again, and this is just in my time covering the Oilers, which is only 5.5 seasons now, not just anybody can play with a superstar athlete, because not only do you have to be able to think your way around the ice, you got to get there, and then you've got to execute. And while all that's going on, Rob, I imagine you have to have the trust of the guy who's allegedly feeding you all these passes. So he does have to have a certain skill set and a certain line of thinking in order to have that success with McDavid, just like Pascal Dupuis did once upon a time with Sidney Crosby. These types of players aren't just a dime a dozen.
No, they're not. As we're seeing right here in Edmonton, Leon might be the second best player in the world, and they're struggling to have someone that can think the game is the same as him. And I think that's what it is. If you're going to play with somebody that's as incredible, and I got a chance to play with Mario, but talking about Wayne, Mario, Messier, Trache, Lafleur, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, any of these superstars, you aren't able to do what they can do. That's why they're superstars. But you have to be able to think the game the same way they do. You have to know what they're thinking, where they expect you, where they're going to go with the puck. You have to anticipate those. So while you may not have the same skills as them, you have to have the same hockey IQ as them. And that's what Zach Hyman has. He knows where to put himself at all times. He knows when to get the puck to Connor. He knows when to get into the open space. He knows when to slide into a quiet area. It's not easy. So I have an incredible amount of respect for what Zach Hyman has done this year. And anyone that takes anything away from his 50-goal season, my guess is somebody that's never, A, played in the National Hockey League, or B, if they did, never scored 50. So, no, I think Zach Hyman, his hockey IQ is through the roof, and that's why he's able to do what he's doing with Connor McDavid. And that's why we talk about Corey Perry, the reason he was able to score at the pace he did, his hockey IQ. And right now the Edmonton Oilers are very fortunate that they had one of the best free agent signings in the history of the National Hockey League with Zach Hyman.
Last year, he dropped the gloves in a game against the LA Kings, and it was a turning point in the season. Not necessarily that isolated incident, but I think that game was. And here we have another game against Los Angeles, a playoff rival, perhaps their most intense rival at this point, Rob. Just give me a handicap or a quick preview of what you're looking for tomorrow night.
Well, I think it's going to be a very intense game because home ice advantage is still on the line in the first round. LA can pull within 1 point with a win tomorrow, and I think the Oilers know that. Oilers win tomorrow, that probably guarantees them home ice advantage. LA is good. I mean, they went 7 one series, they went 6 the other. In the year they went 7, it was if Jack Campbell doesn't stand on his head, I think it was game 5 in LA, the Oilers weren't going to come back in that series. So LA is good. Right now they're healthy. They play a style of game that gives the Oilers fits at times. It's going to be a battle. Every game between LA and Edmonton is a battle. It's fun to watch. I've never seen them play each other when it wasn't a playoff atmosphere, whether it's exhibition October or here now in March. So I'm expecting both teams to be out there trying to set the tone, because I think it's trending towards these two playing each other in the first round. So I think tomorrow night might be just a statement game both teams want to make.
We will all be tuned in with bated breath. Rob, thank you so much. Always a treat to talk to you.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Rob Brown from the Oilers Radio Network, brought to you by Montorio Homes. Hey, some guests of this show do receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite place to celebrate your special occasion. Try a Wagyu steak today. And Ford Canada's President's Award, it's the most prestigious honor that a dealership can receive. It's awarded for excellence in sales and customer satisfaction. Uncle Milt says that most customers are thrilled when they pick up their new vehicle. And the key to customer satisfaction is problem solving. Brent Ridge team dedicated to solutions for you. It is that dedication that's earned Brent Ridge their 13th President's Diamond Club Award. It was eight, I think, when I started this job. Here we are at 13. They can't help but win this award. Why? Fair and open vehicle ownership. Call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt, 780-352-6048. Yeah, 625. We're really hammering through this, so let's put a bookmark in it. We're back in a moment.
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Hey, let's get quickly to a text here. It's from Cracker Jack, and I like this one. I was poking around a couple of days ago, so I'm going to get to this. He says, do you think the Oilers are interested in any other unsigned Western Hockey League 20-year-olds? James Stephan was a great ad, and obviously Noah Philp is a huge ad as well, or a re-addition in the case of Philp. But I'm glad you asked that, Cracker Jack, and I do think that there's a case to be made here because we're just about at a deadline where even if you were a late round pick, I'm trying to think of what draft it would be. Let's hear. So I'll give you an example. So Brett Hyland is a player from Edmonton. He's been drafted in the seventh round of 2023 by Washington, but he's unsigned right now. So could Edmonton ultimately take a crack at a player like him? Maybe Kai Uchaz of the Red Deer Rebels is another name worth filing away. I think he played a little bit with Seattle earlier in his career, but Uchaz is a Calgary product. He's a centerman, but a right shot one, 6'2", 200 pounds, and spent the last three seasons with Red Deer. 81 points in 68 games this year. File the name away. We'll see. He doesn't have any NHL rights right now, so that's a possibility too. But that is the route they're going to have to take in terms of bolstering the prospect pool.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.